If you want to, I want you this morning to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right. Well, I will say the fact that as you're turning, we're going to start our series, What About? Okay. And some of you might be disappointed because I really didn't get it started today. Because I got working on my first message and realized I'm going to have to break it into two messages. And I really didn't want to put 2 weeks in between them. And so when I get back in 2 weeks, I will start the What About series, okay? And the What About series is intended to ask your questions. Well, what about this? Everybody says this. What about that? Okay, what about errors in the Bible? Isn't there errors in the Bible? What about, okay, and it's a chance for you to give me your what abouts, all right? And I've got some. I've gotten some good ones, all right? And so we're looking forward, or I'm looking forward to addressing some of those things, okay? It'll be an exciting time as well. So, all right. If you got 1 Thessalonians open, you might be familiar with this passage, chapter 2, verses 10 to 12 is what I'm going to speak on this morning as I address dads on this Father's Day. And what about dads? You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. All right, Paul addresses the issue here of we treated you just like a father would treat you. And what I want to try to do is I've pulled out five characteristics, and I started them all with A. If you know me, you know I like to alliterate. Started them all with A. And I want to share them with you this morning. All right, but before we do that, let me pray and ask God's blessing upon it. Father, thank you this morning for the fathers that are here. Each of us can thank you for the fathers that you have given unto us. And Father, we are grateful. We are grateful for them. We are grateful for the impact that they've had on our lives, be that a positive or maybe in some cases a not so positive impact. But Father, we are grateful for the fathers that you've given to us and the blessings that they are. And Father, now I pray that as I preach this morning, as I proclaim your word and the truth in your word, that Father, you would speak through me to your people. And that Father, as fathers here, they would be encouraged in the job that you have given to them and the challenge you've provided for them. So bless now this time with your presence and speak to me through me by your spirit and in the power of the truth of your word. I ask it all in the name of Jesus, my Lord, in his name, our Lord, in his name I pray. Amen. Well, after I kind of got my notes all together and kind of put together the alliteration of the A's that I had put together, I thought, you know, I'm going to entitle us Straight A Dads. And then I kind of got on my notes and I typed the search for it, and I realized that 10 years ago I did preach a message on Straight A Dads, so I didn't want to be confusing. But as I did, I went back to the former notes that I preached, and it was interesting. I found these questions, and again, 10 years ago, I don't think you remember them. I don't remember them, okay? But I came up with top 10 reasons why it's good to be a man. All right? You need a little testosterone boast this morning. You know, a little pump me up to be a guy. Here we go. Top 10 reasons to be a man. Number 10, all right? You know stuff about cars, trucks, and tractors, right? I mean, you know how to fix it. You know how to get it done, right? This past week, I replaced brakes on two cars in our driveway. All right, it's like, Dad, I hear a noise. Okay, all right, and so 1.5. Excuse me, they're correcting me, all right? Janine's was bad enough. All I got was one wheel done. I still got to do the other one yet. But, okay, but it's running, right, Janine? Okay, and it is working. So, all right, so you know stuff about cars, trucks, and tractors. Now, number 9. All right, you can go to the bathroom without a support group, okay? You don't have to have help, do you? You can get it done by yourself, all right? Number 8, if someone forgets to invite you, you can still be friends, all right? So they forgot, big deal, you know, what's the big deal? Everybody forgets now and then. Number 7. You can stop by and see a friend without having to bring a little gift. All right? You know, just a little something to say how much I appreciate you, right? A high five is good enough, right, guys? Just a good handshake will do. Number 6. If another guy shows up at a party with the same outfit you have on, you might become lifelong friends. All right. Number five. You have one wallet, one pair of shoes, and one color of clothing for all occasions. All right. Don't need more than that. I won't embarrass her, but I'll say, which of my daughters has how many pair of shoes? Huh? A lot. Okay? And they all have Nike swooshes on them. Okay? So you might be able to figure out which one it is from that, right? Okay? So, all right. Number four, there's always a game on somewhere. All right? Get cable TV, get dish TV. You'll find something to watch somewhere. It might be water polo in Bulgaria, but you can find something to watch, okay? So, which Janine was disappointed because her and Lynette were going to go to an actual horse polo game last night, but it got canceled out because of the rain. And they were like, ah, this is our one chance to go to a polo match. How many times do you get to go to a polo match? And they didn't get to go. I didn't even get an invite. No, because they knew I couldn't go. So, all right, where am I at? Okay. Number three. Your guy friends will never ask you, so do you notice anything different about me today? All right. Now, I'll ask everybody, okay? This is kind of a good one. Do you notice anything different about me today? Okay. No. I actually got a new pair of glasses, all right? I finally broke away from the bifocals, you know, where I put two pair of glasses on, and actually got a pair of progressive trifocals, if you need to know, okay? Yeah, I'm getting that old, and it's happening that fast. So, all right, number two, if something mechanical doesn't work, you can bash it with a hammer and throw it across the room. I like that one, all right? I mean, that is this doggone thing. Ask my family, they'll tell you, this doggone thing. So, and number one, all right, here you go, guys. You can do your own nails with only a pocket knife. Right? That's all it takes. Now, actually, I came up with another one, okay? And this one I put down as zero, okay? And this one I got to get a little help with me because it, you know you're a guy if it doesn't really matter if the seat's up or down, or I found out last week, if you even have a seat, it doesn't matter. All right? Guys don't care. So, all right. So there's a good reason why it's good to be a man this morning. All right, guys? And so we encourage that. And as we talk about dads this morning, I recognize the fact that for me, I have the privilege of being the dad of six great kids. And I appreciate that so much. And it's been a tremendous ride. I think back and I'm like, how long ago has it been? And it just seems like yesterday, but now they're married and gone and kids and everything else like that. This morning, I got a Facebook thing, you know. Anyways, with Luke saying, Happy Father's Day, Papa. And so I've even got that this morning from him. And so I'm just saying the fact that what a privilege it is to be a dad. It is a great honor, and many of us share that privilege and opportunity, and to be able to be called dad and to be able to be appreciated by that. And many of us, as I prayed, are able to look back on our fathers, and we're able to look back with thanksgiving for the dad that we have or had, either way, okay? And thank God for the fathers that he gave us and the impact that they had upon us and the things that they did for us and the daddy do lists that oftentimes we have and had, and the fact that our fathers are the ones who tend to be there and maybe in a different way than moms. And I really would love to spend a time separating that out because I think there are very different as in the roles in which God has given to men and women concerning motherhood and fatherhood. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at this passage, and what I've came up with is five A's, five qualities that dads need to demonstrate to their kids as Paul discusses his relationship with the Thessalonians and compares himself to a dad who takes care of his children. And so the first quality I put down is that dads need to demonstrate affection. If you look at verse 8, jump back a little bit, which actually, if you jump all the way back to verse part of 6, where the paragraph break is, it says, as apostles of Christ, We could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. And we see Paul talking here about a mother and a mother's affection for their children. But as well, I think a father needs to have that same affection. I recognize this morning that there's a sense in which, if we're not careful, we can kind of womanize fatherhood. If you understand what I'm saying, there's a sense in which there's a movement today of, well, fathers, you need to show more emotion. You need to be more affectionate. You need to talk more. You need to be more communicative. You need to be more verbal. And basically what they're, in essence, is saying to me is you need to be more like a woman. Because guys don't talk much and guys don't show their emotion and guys don't get emotional and guys tend to be more rational in their thinking. And that's the way God intended us. And that's the way God made us. And so I do think that we need to understand who we are as men and how God made us as men and why God made us that way. But at the same time, we also need to recognize that if we're not careful, we can allow our strengths, okay, to become a weakness. In what way? Well, big men don't cry. Now, how many of you have heard that, right? Come on, big men don't cry. Well, that's not always true. I can remember the first time I walked around the corner of our house and came into the kitchen and my dad was standing there and he was holding a picture of his father-in-law, my mom's dad, who had passed away. And as I saw him staring at this picture of his former father-in-law, I saw tears coming out of his eyes. You recognize it's okay. It's good. And so I put here that, man, we need to be able to show emotion. To show no emotion is not a good thing. We don't want our kids to understand that it's all good, Heather. He's got her under control. So, hey, it's Father's Day, right? No. So, at least I wasn't on the point, Dad, take responsibility. No. But we need to understand the fact that we need to be able to show our kids some emotion. In fact, we need to be able to express our emotion to our children. And I put down here that there are those times in which some of us grew up in which you never said, I love you. And the mentality, that thought was kind of, I don't need to say it, you know it. But there's a sense in which how many girls here would say, I would love to hear my dad say, I love you. Because they want to hear it. They want to know it. And it's not just the fact that you demonstrate your love to them. They know you love you, but they need to hear it. And so, dads, I am saying the fact that there needs to come a time, sometime, in which you say to your children, hey, I love you. Now, I recognize it can go to extremes. You know, every time you're off the phone, I love you. You know, it can go to extremes. Or every time you say goodbye, I love you. And I'm not against saying that all the time, but I'm saying the fact that it can become a trite thing at the same time as well. So be careful against that. But be sure you say you love your kids. And I have to challenge the dads that are here, especially if you have younger children. All right, I'm sure I've done some things right, and I'm sure I've done a lot of things wrong, but I do feel that the only thing that I did right, or the main thing that I did right that I want to challenge you to do, if you still have kids young enough, at the age of 16, I bought all of my girls a purity ring. And I said, girls, I want you to wear this ring until another man puts a ring in its place. Keep yourself pure for him because I love you too much to have you be wasted on somebody else. What a difference that would make in girls growing up to know that their dad loved them enough that he's not going to allow them or doesn't want them to get taken aside by somebody else and misused or abused. So, guys, we need to show affection. We need to let our kids know that we love them so that they see that demonstrated, not just in the things that we do for them, but We see that demonstrated in the words that we speak. And the other thing I would say is then have some, what do I say, some method of displaying your affection to them. I don't care if it's a arm around the shoulders and just a man hug, or if it's a high, have some way in which you're raising your daughters, especially your daughters, but as well your sons, so that they know that you really do love them. Some type of appreciation. So, all right, show your, demonstrate your affection. Number two, demonstrate your attention to them. All right, pay attention to them. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. Now, fathers, there's a message in and of itself, but boy, that would be a challenge. How many of us can say, man, you know how holy, righteous, and blameless I was as a dad? Paul wrote that to them, setting the bar. But notice he went on, verse 11, for you know that we dealt with each one of you. Paul didn't say, hey, I dealt with all of you. He said, I dealt with each one of you as a father deals with his children. Now, this one you can go, duh, Don. But pay attention, first of all, I've got down here, okay? Pay attention to their differences. How many of you are going to raise your hand? Because you're going to say it. How many of you know that every kid's different? Every one of them's different. I've got six of them, and no two are alike. Now, two might get along better, and two might be a little bit more closer or something like that. But all six of them have different characteristics. And Dad, we need to pay attention to the characteristics of each of our children and understand their individual differences. All right? I was going to give the challenge, but I think I would have failed it myself. If you could list the name of your kids and list something specific about each one of them that would set them apart and make them different, it would be a challenge. All right? This one's that way. This one's this way. I can, no, I can't. I won't do it. Okay. All of our kids are different, all right? And we just need to be aware of the difference that they all are. Secondly, I put down here, pay attention to their interests. They all have different interests. Not every boy is going to be a football player, baseball player, basketball player. Not every girl's going to want to sew and do crochet and cross stitch. They're all different and they all have different interests, and you need to understand the interests of all of them. So pay attention to what they're interested in. Yeah, it might be a little bit more difficult to sit through a piano recital or a dance recital than to sit through a t-ball game. But believe me, t-ball games can be just as boring if you know what I'm talking about, right? Except it's your little boy that gets the ball. Then it's exciting. But at the same time, we need to understand that all their interests, we need to understand the difference in them and pay attention to their differences. And thirdly, I put down there, pay attention to their growth. Oh my goodness, could I say a few things on this? They grow up so fast. Amen? They grow up so fast. You will blink, you will turn around, and all of a sudden it's different. Recognize their growth. You're not a little boy anymore. You're not a little girl anymore. You're not my little sweet, you know, angel. And well, hopefully she's still your sweet little angel, but you're not your little angel anymore. Now you're my big angel, okay? But we need to understand the fact that as our kids grow up, we need to be pay attention to the fact that they're growing up, they're going through different growth phases, they're facing different issues as they grow, and we need to pay attention. All right? How many of you guys would say, my wife has to tell me to pay attention? All right? And that's my point. My point is, guys, we need to pay attention to what's happening in the lives of our kids, because mom's tuned in, sometimes dad's tuned out, all right? But we need to tune in to pay attention. Thirdly, affirmation. We need to give affirmation unto our kids. I get this from the realization that as a father deals with his own children, encouraging them, affirming them. Many of you know I've done some coaching in the past, and I've done coaching in baseball, and I've done coaching in softball, and I've done coaching in soccer. And when I would coach soccer at the Christian Center, many years, I can't remember how many years I went, 3, 4, 5 years, they would put on a Bradley soccer. They'd bring the Bradley soccer team out, and they'd put on a soccer clinic for the kids. And while the kids are being taught by the Bradley soccer players, the coaches would meet with Jim DeRose, the Bradley soccer coach. And he would give advice to coaches on what drills to run and how you need to do it. And the one thing he said would be, coaches, you need to understand that the worst time for any kid who's an athlete is not the game, it's the ride home from the game. Because the ride home from the game is where the parents tell them everything they did wrong and what they should have done right and how if they would have done this, it would have been different and how everything might have been different if it turned out that way. And so we need to understand, fathers, that we need to be affirming of our children. And we need to be willing to affirm them. All right? Now, I put down here, call out. Now, it comes from the word encouraging means paraklesis, to call alongside. And so it has the idea of to call out to someone else, calling them beside you. And the picture I had is the dad at the football game whose son's out there playing, saying, "Yes, son, come on, you can do it. Come on, get up. Come on, handle it." Because you're calling out to them to encourage them. And so we do need to continue to, in fatherly terms, I'd say, and I didn't want to say it this way because it has a bad connotation, call them out. All right, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about call them out in the sense of call them and encourage them. Give them affirmation that what they're doing is good, that what they're doing is right, and that they can handle that themselves. Because your kids need to be affirmed in their ability as well maybe as their inability. They need to be affirmed even if they can't do it. And so we need to continue to encourage them. And so that's why I have call out and then I have call on, which means call on your kids as you transfer responsibility onto them. Call on them to do it. Okay, you're old enough now. Here, you can do this. You can do this. Here, I'll help you. Let me show you. But here, call on them to begin to assume the role of a man or a woman as you allow them to take responsibility and affirm them in who they are and in what they are. I know my dad would often say, "You're a blazing," and a blazing wouldn't do that. And in a sense, a way of affirming who I am, my identity, as well then to eventually call on me for the responsibility that I would have to do things. Number four, acceptance. It comes from the second word, encouraging, comforting. We need to be willing to provide comfort unto our children. The word used here is used also of Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus and the many people who had come to comfort them. And so it's an understanding of acceptance in the sense that we understand and comfort them in their times of needs, in their times of question, in their times of doubt, and their times of understanding that we will always accept them. We know that it's difficult sometimes to accept the things that they do. But we will always be there to accept them. We won't always understand them. But we will be there to accept them. And as I was reading this past week on fatherhood from a book by Chuck Swindoll a long time ago, he pointed out the fact that in the prodigal son basically spurned his dad, slapped him across, as much as slapped him in the face and said, "I want everything you got. Give me my inheritance. I'm out of here." And in essence said, "You're not a good dad. I want my stuff. I'm leaving." And you know that he went off and he squandered it. You know the story. And then in the middle of feeding the pigs, he realized that Even the slaves who work for my dad have it better than what I do. If I go back and be, just tell dad to accept me as a slave, I'll be accepted back. And you know the story that the father was watching and waiting, and when the son started coming down the road, the father saw him coming, tucked his coat up and ran after him and embraced him and then threw a celebration party. You know about it. But here's the fact that the point he made was, at what point in time did the son recognize he could go back to his dad? With all the things that he had done, the way that he had spurned him, the way he had lost his job, the way that everything happened to him, all his failures, he recognized, I can still go back to my dad. And his dad was what? Still there waiting for him to come back. So there's a sense as our kids get older and we release them, we don't know what's going to happen. We can't determine the paths that they're going to walk and we can't control the decisions they're going to make. But my challenge as husband and as well as wives, what you need to do is to make sure that you keep the home place. Shall I say the home fire is burning? That's kind of the saying, the song that comes to mind. You keep the home stable and settled so that if they screw up and want to come back, they know there's a place they can come back to. They know that they will be accepted. It's difficult because you can't always accept the things that they do, but I put down there, accept them even in their failures or their successes. For truly, it's a lot easier to try to accept them in their successes than in their failures, but you need to accept them in both. And this kind of struck home to me. This past week, it was probably last week, we were with the girls, Janine and Joelle and Lynette and I and the realtor and a friend and things like that, kind of at the house Janine and Joelle are looking at, which, by the way, they're still negotiating on that as to price and who's going to pay what. And you know, I tell people they're still tap dancing, if you understand what I'm talking about. And so anyways, you can talk to Janine about that, ask her how it's going. But they were sitting around the table and we were joking with Joelle because she was there and she says that Jason says he can get her a job for Alabama as an athletic trainer for Alabama. And I thought, wow, that'd be pretty awesome. Just think, Joelle, you can become Nick Saban's athletic trainer. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, you know, he's got the number one football team in the nation, and you can be his athletic trainer. And then we went and said, yeah, and Jason, he's traveling Europe right now, and I'm talking about the successes of what could happen with my kids. And then Janine and Joelle went, well, what are we, chopped liver? And I was kind of like, well, no, not really. Happy Father's Day, right, Janine? Do you see my point? We need to show the fact that no matter what they do, no matter what they attain, no matter what they become, we accept you. We accept you equally and we love you equally. We care for you equally. So we need to accept them and comfort them. And then number five, we need to appreciate them. We need to appreciate them. Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Boy, what a challenge that is, dads. Urging you to live lives worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom. Now, that's done primarily by us modeling it first. They've got to see it before they'll believe it. So they've got to see us in us as we model our walk with God. Living our lives worthy of God who has called us into his kingdom and into his glory and called us into the responsibility as fathers and given to us privilege of raising our children. We need to urge our children on in their faith. Modeling it for them, showing it unto them, and then challenging them to live lives worthy of God also who's called them. So I put down here, appreciate them for who they are. Demonstrate your appreciation to your children. And secondly, what they do. And here, we have to stay away from the performance trap that I love you, I appreciate you, I accept you if you perform a certain way. But at the same hand, you want to show the appreciation that you have for them, the fact that they did a good job. And so you get caught in between that. You don't want it to be appreciation in the sense that performance driven, that if you perform, I'll appreciate it. But at the same time, you want it to be the fact that you do appreciate the fact that they are performing well. And so you need to appreciate them, first of all, for who they are, and then for what they do. For what they do around the house, for the help that they give. Can I say this? And I guess this comes just personal because it comes easy for me, but maybe a little bit harder for you. When's the last time you said thank you to one of your kids for something they did? Hey, thanks for cleaning the table. Hey, thanks for putting the dishes away. Hey, thanks for trying to clean up your room. Hey, thanks for to let your kids know how much you appreciate what they do. And then lastly, I put down an appreciation for how they live their life. And again, I've already preached on that. I just got done talking about it. Urging them to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and His glory. Thank Him for what they're doing and for how they live their lives. If they're living their life, especially in a godly characteristic, in a godly way, then thank them for that. Hey, I'm really proud of that. I'm really glad that you're living your life godly. Encourage them in that. There's enough hard things out there already that they're facing without being encouraged and urged on and appreciated for the fact that they're doing things right. And so we need to also appreciate them. So dads, here you are. Show them affection. Pay attention to them. Affirm them and encourage them in what they're doing. Accept them no matter what happens, how they do it. And appreciate them for who they are and what they've done. Amen. Amen.